guess I could use one of my microphones there.
Well, you could. They're all fancy and recording now.
Yeah, that's been a source of much frustration.
Yeah. I think I'm finally breaking out of my slump.
Well, good. You and I, we should work on something to help each other get through things, because everything I do now just feels like I don't know what I'm doing. And part of it is because I don't know what I'm doing.
That's part of the joy of it, though.
Well, that's the thing about it.
It's discovery, the newness.
Yeah, but you have to understand how much that isn't my thing.
I know.
I mean, how long did it take for me to use my Cintiq after I had it?
At least a year.
At least a year.
I'm pretty sure it was at least a year.
It's very difficult. Oh, this is Crankcast After Dark.
Change bad. Run!
Well, that's really what it is. And add on to that. So it's been almost a year since I started doing this stuff.
Really? I thought it was longer.
Well, it's been almost a year since I started writing music.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it was longer ago than that you started learning how to play.
I started playing guitar again, this is probably 3 years now.
Wasn't it? It was in 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I should be way better than I am now.
That's only 2 years.
All right. Well, still, I should be better than I am.
I don't know. I mean, I think you picked it up again pretty quick. Seems like you did.
But yeah, all the technical stuff, I've been drinking. You have too.
I am right now.
Oh, I am too. What are you drinking? I'm going to guess. I heard a can.
Yes, it was.
So I'm going to guess it is...
Burr.
Yes, it's definitely beer, but it is... Well, that's all you drink. You don't drink hard liquor.
That's not true. Occasionally I'll go get a bottle of whiskey or something, or a bottle of cognac.
Cognac?
Yeah, I like my Hennessy.
Are you a rapper?
I love my Hennessy.
Oh, my God.
Don't so much care for the Cavassier.
What?
But I like the Hennessy.
They both suck.
You suck.
They both taste like somebody set gasoline on fire and shoved it in your mouth.
Oh, man. Hennessy's good.
I do not think so.
That was my drink of choice in my early 20s.
You did that just to be different.
No, I just liked it.
No.
I liked it. I liked it. Still do. Yeah, and occasionally I'll go get some other, rum or something, you know. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was on a wine kick.
Wine's easy to get on a kick of. Wine is kind of a universal alcohol. It's pretty good.
Except the problem is I'm so used to drinking beer that when I start drinking wine, and this doesn't affect me so much with a lot of liquor, because usually with liquor I mix it with something.
Yep, most people do.
And that helps cut it. It makes it a little more like beer, you know, as far as how fast you get drunk off of how much you drink. But with wine, I was finding that I wasn't, after a couple of glasses of it, I wasn't regulating myself well.
No, that's the thing about wine. I don't drink it because it's got too much sugar in it.
Well, here's what I did. I was drinking zero calorie wine. No, I'm kidding. I don't even know if they make zero calorie wine.
They do. They make skinny wine or whatever. One of those housewives.
We used to call that fortified wine, like Mad Dog and shit.
I bet Mad Dog has to have tons of sugar.
Well, I'm saying it was more added alcohol than it was actually wine.
It's like the Kool-Aid of wines.
But you know what I'm saying? It was more like fortified. It was added alcohol and less wine in it. But no, anyway, so what I wound up doing was making basically wine coolers. I was mixing wine with ginger ale and 7-Up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which helped. It meant I could regulate myself better with it. And I was just using box wine, Franzia or something, and just a crisp white or something, you know, something cheap.
Crisp white is what they used to call me in high school.
White bread.
cracker if you're nasty.
Yeah. But yeah, tonight I'm just drinking beer.
Oh, wait. I was going to... It is some sort of ice something.
Not tonight, no.
No?
Not an ice.
But is it usually?
I tend to... Okay, so, you know, for the volume of beer that I tend to drink in any given week, mm-hmm. I drink cheap because yeah,
that's why I went with that.
I drink in quantity.
You know? Yes, that's what I know you.
And while I do have, you know, I like good beer, it's not that I'm averse to good beer, I've also got a palate for bad beer.
This isn't a specialty beer that you're drinking tonight.
No. This is a cheap beer.
So you are drinking...
But a lot of times I will drink Keystone. That's not an ice either. It's Keystone Light.
MGD. You're drinking MGD.
I am not. And also keep in mind that I tend to drink light beers.
Really?
Yeah. So they're not exactly beers. They're more beer adjacent.
So is it just a Miller Lite?
No. It's got an M in it.
What?
It's got an M in it. You're on the right track with an M. What's your best guess?
It's a Michelob?
No. What's your best guess? Say you were in a northern state.
No! Really? Milwaukee's best?
Hell yeah, man.
Don't say hell yeah. Nobody likes that beer.
$15.50 for a 30-pack.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we shouldn't be recording right now. We're giving away way too much about ourselves right now. People are either listening to this going, oh yeah, this is the real dirt, or they're going, oh my God, we need to call somebody.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a Friday night, so.
Yeah. Friday night, all bets are off.
I didn't have any plans to go anywhere because I was working on some stuff and, you know. Oh, so you know why I think I'm getting out of my slump?
Why?
Or how I'm trying to get out of my slump, anyway.
How are you getting out of your slump?
Well, part of it was there's this thing. Okay, part of why I'm in a slump is because there's this project that I started, like 6 years ago now, all right? Or going on 6 years ago. That was supposed to be an easy, just in-between thing to keep myself in practice with mixing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, other projects like the Son of Morty stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, what it was there were some stuff that me and my friend Brian did, back in the mid-90s on 4-track cassette. And we never really had good versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, you know, let's go ahead and just record all this stuff now since we've got better equipment and can actually do it right. Because the songs were pretty good. It's just the recordings weren't that great. Because back in the tape days, you know, I had to record 4 tracks, bounce it to another cassette so I'd get 2 stereo tracks, bounce that around. And by the time I got to the end product, it had gone through, a few generations of tape at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of, you know, and you were kind of stuck with your whatever your first mix was by the time you got to your last tracks and stuff. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of adjustment you could do or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Without going back and re-recording a bunch of shit. So, yeah, I was like, you know, we don't have to write any of this stuff. All we have to do is just relearn how to play it because it'd been 20 years or whatever, 25 years. You know, and so I'm like, this should be simple, right? It should only take us, 2 months? 3 months? Something like that? Yeah, that drug out into, 6 years. And a lot of it's been my fault, because it took me a while to get the drums right and get the drums down, and then the vocals have been a real problem, because my voice isn't the same as it was when I was in, you know, my early 20s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I just haven't been real super confident about it, and I've been getting in my own head a lot about it, you know?
I completely understand that.
And so, the problem was is I got a thing where if I work on something too long, it just becomes more of a nuisance than a thing I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like you and trying to find a parking spot.
I hear you.
Just to put it in, you know, reference. And especially if it's something that is not going well, I start getting frustrated with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I gotta get it done. I feel a need to get it done.
I understand that too.
So it's kind of this weight, this stone hanging around my neck, and every time I try to start doing something else, because I'm like, well, maybe I should just go work on some of this other newer stuff I've been writing, on my acoustic and stuff, you know, or whatever. I try to sit down and do it, and I just can't really do anything with it because I keep sitting there going, I should be working on this other stuff.
This is me. This is what I do all the time.
And so, you know, I just... Anyway, what I decided to do, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm not really making any progress getting the vocals on this thing done to wrap it up. I'm going to do the same thing, but with another set of four-track cassettes, but a much shorter project. Because there was this other thing that me and some friends did that was like kind of a punk rocky thing around 95, 96.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a six-song cassette demo. And actually, we gave it to a band at a show once. Like a band we liked. Face to Face, I think, maybe. They were coming through Cincinnati.
Face to Face? I know who that is.
Do you?
Yeah.
Their first album is having its 30-year anniversary this year. Came out in 1992. Don't Walk Away, or Don't Turn Away. I can't remember. But yeah, anyway, so the problem was we didn't have a drummer at the time. So I had been working on like electronic stuff and that, so I had a drum machine already. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just program some stuff that we can do the rest of the stuff over. And, you know, it'll be good enough. It'll help us find a drummer because we'll have these songs on cassette and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And but we just never did. The project kind of fell apart, and then we never recorded anything else like that. And so the songs are fun and kind of catchy, but they've always felt really stiff because they got this robo drummer going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, because I had talked about it before, you know, I was like, I can actually play drums now. I might as well just sit down and play them because it's not a long EP. You know, these are quick punk songs. So it's like maybe 15 minutes of music or something like that. I'm like, I can sit down and play this shit and just re-record it and make the drums sound like they're on a cassette and then to match the rest of the stuff. And at least the drums will sound more natural, and then whatever I can do to make the rest of it sound better by mixing and EQing and stuff, you know, I can maybe have a halfway decent thing there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been sitting down to work and play drums, which has had the also benefit of giving me some extra exercise.
Sure.
Which actually might be helping me mentally as well, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I'm starting to feel a little bit better. I revisited that project that's taken too long, and I was culling through the vocals, trying to see where exactly I thought I was wrong. And I'm not really cringing at it anymore. I'm not feeling as bad about it. So that's why I think I'm moving past my slump.
I'm very happy for you, because I understand how this feels, and I am very excited that you are getting through that.
I am too.
Because I feel that. I feel it.
And it's rough because you really don't know how to get out of it when you're in it, you know?
Well, I don't. It just kind of just compounds every bad feeling you have about, you know, every insecurity you have about what I'm, you know, learning and stuff and things like that. And
yeah.
And it really is just hard. Like, I do these songwriting things with Marty Wilson Piper, and in the last 3 weeks, I haven't had anything to show him. And it's like I'm paying him
to just
simply be a therapist at this point.
Right. Well, I'm sure
and that's totally cool. It's totally fine. It's just I finished something finally, and I gave it to him last week, and we talked about it today, and he's like, yeah, that's not your best. You know? And I'm like, yeah, that's what I was saying. And I'm like, well, goddamn.
Well, sometimes you got to knock out some bad shit just to get through.
But that I understand more than anything. That is my thing. That is what I do.
I mean, not everything's gold, you know?
Yeah, I understand that completely, but it's just like every little thing seems to be working against me, and, you know, I got a new computer.
Finally, congratulations.
I got a new computer for home. I don't have one for work yet, but probably when the new ones come out in March. But I got a new one for home, and it's got Logic on it.
Hmm.
So I decided I'm going to start using Logic. Whole nother little... It's GarageBand on steroids. So
yeah,
there's
lots more options. Yeah.
All these little nuances. And here I am tonight even spending I don't know how much time just to figure out how I can hear my own effects on my track while I'm playing. And I'm like, well, that was easy in GarageBand.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it tonight. And I'm just like, well, fuck.
It's probably got a lot more like routing options and stuff like that too.
Oh, the busing—that's a whole nother That's a whole nother level to me. That's another thing that I'm going to have to start learning, and I don't understand it. And it's just like, I'm not just learning how to play guitar anymore. I'm learning how to do this. I'm learning how to be an engineer. I'm learning how to be a producer. I'm learning how to do all this stuff at the same time. And it's just, you know, I have a job too.
Right. You know how you avoid having to learn all that?
What?
Join a band so that somebody else does it for you.
But that's the thing, Frank. There's no, I can't go anywhere and be in a band.
I know. I'm making a joke about what it's like to be a bedroom musician these days, you know?
That's why I was just telling you we should make something so we could just pass it on to each other and stuff like that. But I didn't get into this to play with people. I got into this to learn how to play better, but it's kind of taking me down roads. It's like I'm getting in, I'm riding a whitewater rapids now, and I'm not in control of where it takes me now.
Doesn't it feel glorious?
I mean, I wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't exciting in some way, but at the same time, it's like, I have a thing that I do, and I have to keep doing that.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is it's like, you know, part of what...
This is the thing I talk about with Marty, because, you know, he's very interested in art, and like I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but, you know, when I was showing them what I did for a living, his wife was on the call, and she goes, "Why do you want to learn to play guitar?" You know what I mean?
For relaxation and fun. Like,
what?
Except for relaxation and fun.
Yeah, and I was just like, because she looked at it and she's like, "Why aren't you just doing this all the time?" And it's like, well, that's what I've sort of been doing for the last 30 years.
Yeah. I mean, literally, that's not just something you're good at, it's your job. Like,
I mean, it's sort of my life. But we were talking about this very thing today, because we were talking about, you know, what makes somebody rest on their laurels and stuff, and why, you know, some bands aren't what they used to be, and do they even know that anymore? And I mentioned, you know, that happens in art. It happens in, especially in our industry, it happens where you just, if you get comfortable, you have to be on alert, because that means you're not learning anymore. You're not doing anything interesting anymore.
Right.
But that also kind of means you can never be happy and content.
Well, I don't know. You can feel satisfied that you're doing decent at what you're doing right now, even if you want to learn how to do something more.
I'm not... That sounds good on paper, but that is not what the brain says. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had a thing, and this is completely irrational, okay? I understand it's completely irrational on top of it. But I was doing dishes the other day, and I had the local radio station on. Did I already tell you this?
I don't remember anything about you doing dishes.
Okay, so, you know, I had the radio on just so I wasn't just hearing the sound of running water. And I tuned it to the local... Well, it's supposedly the local alternative channel, but it's a corporate channel that kind of plays the same thing every hour.
Yeah, like all of them.
Yeah, it's basically like the local, you know, Clear Channel. Probably Clear Channel owns this one, too.
Yeah, Clear Channel owns everything.
Same kind of setup as the local rock station, where, like, if you listen to it for 2 hours, you'll probably hear the same song a couple times.
Yeah, that's the problem. You know, all of them are like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I had that on, and the DJ comes on, and she was talking about how Billy Joe from Green Day just celebrated his 50th birthday. And I'm like, I stopped, and I was just sat there with my hands in the water, and I'm like, 50? He's only a couple years older than me. That means in 1994, when their third major label album came out, you know, and yeah, exploded into platinum, you know, Dookie, that was the album, he was only a couple years older than me then.
That's really surprising. I honestly thought he was younger than us, dude.
Oh, I always thought I just assumed he was older. Like, because he had like already accomplished so much, you know? And, the whole band had, you know?
I thought he was younger than us.
So I'm like, I sat there and stopped him. Like, I had a, what the fuck am I doing? Have I done with my life moment, you know?
Well, that, you know, that's death. I know that. We talked about that today, me and Marty. It's like, that is something that I got over a long time ago. I can't think about that. I'm almost 50, dude.
I know. I mean,
can't start playing guitar and start worrying about what other people are doing.
And mostly I don't, but for whatever reason, that just hit me. Like, holy shit, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I realize it's irrational, because you can't compare your achievements to somebody else's achievements. It's mm-hmm. not the same thing, you know?
That's death, man.
So, but for whatever reason, man, just hearing that, I was like, holy shit. You know?
Sure.
But
I mean that should make you feel old, but it shouldn't make you feel like unaccomplished. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, it just made me feel. Yeah, I felt like a failure moment. You know?
Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
But anyway, like I said, I know that's completely irrational. And that's just one of those things that happens. Most of the time, I don't worry about it.
Yeah,
I'm like I don't have super lofty goals anymore. You know, like I want to play and have fun and try to get better at it. Like,
well, that's sort of my thing, but also, you know, when I do have a regimented, you know, I'm the amount I've been putting into all this stuff, I should be better, is what I keep saying, you know.
Yeah, but I mean,
I do take all these lessons. I am literally taking classes from three people now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you've only been at it, like, around 2 years.
I should be able to be playing a lot more songs than I do.
I mean, do you try learning a lot more songs?
I don't. That's the thing. I have become the joke, you know, the person that just sits around playing scales and doesn't really learn how to play music.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know how to play a lot of other people's songs anymore, but that's just because I haven't really bothered to learn them because I work on my own stuff, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me in that regard.
But, I mean, again, not that you can compare your success or failure against somebody else's achievements, but, I mean, if you want to go that route of thinking, except for a couple of years I took off where I just didn't feel like playing for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
like right around the end of the 90s, early 2000s,
mm-hmm.
when I was doing all my music on the computer, essentially, I have been playing music since I was 12.
And stop bragging.
I'm putting this into perspective, dude.
Specifically the bass. You're bragging about yourself.
Specifically the bass I've been playing since I was 12 years old. I am nowhere near as good as I should be for having played that long.
You're pretty good at the bass, though.
I'm not good enough to justify that amount of time.
I'm not
Jaco Pastorius or something. You know?
Well, yeah, of course, but I don't think...
In fact, I've probably been playing...
Maybe Kevin Mellon understands because he hangs out with you online and stuff, but I don't think the people that listen to this show understand how good you are playing the bass guitar.
Smack at the bass.
Yeah, I should always put guitar at the end of that because that's what it is. It's a bass guitar.
But, like, you know, I mean... And again, to put that in even further perspective, since I brought up Jaco Pastorius, I've actually probably at this point been playing longer than he did, because he did.
Yeah, that's kind of unfair.
And he was like mega awesome for only, you know, and he only played probably, you know, 10 years less than I did, or I have at this point.
Okay, calm down.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get you to do. Don't worry about how long it's taking you to do something.
Look, here's the thing. I fluctuate. I understand all of this on paper.
I
figure that. I get that. It's just that is not, you know, when you're sitting there trying to figure something out, it's not. I lost a fucking font.
I mean, tell me about it. I'm still sitting there trying to figure out exactly how I'm going to play Salisbury Hill. You know?
Oh, because
I can't get my thumb doing the thing that it's supposed to be doing.
You know, Justin Guitar just put out a lesson on that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Check it out.
The one I've been watching...
Does yours use a capo?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because you're supposed to be tuned to standard and then use the capo...
he's not doing a lot. He's not doing anything really with his thumb there, though. So maybe you should check that out.
Well, I want to learn how to do it right.
Well, he seems to be doing it okay. Jesus fucking Christ.
I mean, the one I've been watching, it sounds just like what I hear on the recording, you know?
Oh my God, you're killing me.
Smalls. but
I've never seen that movie, dude.
I
get what it is, but I it annoys me.
The only reason I know anything about it is because of Jenny, because she was in the generation that grew
that
up
makes
with that
sense.
Movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And she made me. I don't even know if I sat through the whole thing. She made me at least sit down and watch the parts of it she would quote a lot.
Yeah. Seems like a Jenny.
But I, you know, that movie really didn't register to me because I was too old for it by the time it came out, essentially.
Why can't I find this fucking font anymore?
Do a power search.
How do I do a power search?
I don't know.
What is this font? This is all about the new computer. I don't have it on here.
Tell Cursor to ask Auto Man.
Cursor? Ooh, but I still have the old computer. Well, I got rid of the Clip Studio on it.
I still think I should probably pick up like a small Mac or something though, so I can run Logic so that when we trade files, it's easier for us to work together.
Yeah, man, get with it. What are you using? Vegas or something like that?
I use Vegas for a lot of my basic tracking because it's just such a simple program, and it's the program I've been using since the 90s.
You use all the cheap free crap.
Vegas ain't free.
It's not?
No.
Oh, I thought you used a free thing.
I've been considering switching over to Reaper, but that's not free either. It's cheap.
A lot of people like Reaper. That's a good one, I hear.
That's another one of those ones that's got like a shit ton of routing options, and you have to set stuff up.
Yeah, I got Reaper. It came with one of my things, but I never really used it.
Yeah, see, Reaper's good too because it's cross platform and stuff. And it's actually, it works pretty similarly to Vegas. I seem to remember something like when they started Reaper as a project, they were actually basing it on the version of Vegas at the time, at least for features.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you got to understand, I've been working on Vegas since, like, version 2 back in the 90s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the program I'm used to using. And it works like, it kind of works just like a reel of tape for me. Like, I can set things up linearly and just work on an entire project in a project without having to have a whole bunch of separate things for different songs and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
So it's for what I wanted to do, it's really functional. Like, but it's also at the same time, the problems I've been having with my audio over the past, since I switched to this new computer, like past, when did I do that? In 2020, I think.
The computer you built?
Yeah. But the audio problems I've been having are directly related to Vegas, because I actually tried Reaper with the same files,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't get any of the stuttering or any of the problems that I'm having with this. So it's something to do with the Vegas' code isn't...
Sounds like somebody needs to learn how to use Reaper now.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, it's a more universal thing. I mean, people use Reaper a lot more than they use Vegas, dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, these days, mostly when people use Vegas, they're not using it for audio anyway. They're using it for video, so.
Oh, really?
Video editing. But it started out as a DAW, you know, an audio DAW.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first started using it, that's all it was. It didn't even have video capability back then.
Right.
But as they started adding in the video features, it became an NLE, video editor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kept using it because the audio section functioned pretty much the same as it always had. So I was like, I'll just keep using it.
Keep using it.
But anyway, whatever. I'll figure it out.
Now I'm searching for this font.
Search.
Just looking for it. I don't know what it is.
Lurch. You don't know what the font's called?
So I did this logo for this online guitar teacher.
Stop bragging.
It's not a, I mean, his partner in it is Vernon Reed, so I did a logo for Vernon Reed, so that's broke. That's
humble bragging.
Yeah, that's bragging right there. So I'm bragging that you drank a beer already in the time that we started this show.
I don't fuck around.
In 30 minutes, you drank a beer already.
I don't fuck around.
I know, but now I'm worried about you again.
Probably should be. I drink a lot, dude.
I know you do. But I mean, we've been talking about this since we started the show.
I mean, I'm not a day drinker.
Well, I'm a day drinker.
Up to this point, I...
It's no. Because I go to bed at 10 o'clock. You're keeping me up too late.
Yeah, I'm usually up till like 2 or 3 anyway, so...
I know, most people are, it seems like. Especially in our business, everybody stays up all night.
Well, and when you go through, like, you know, stretches of just not being able to get to sleep any earlier than that, it doesn't help, because then you get in that cycle of...
You know what?
I don't wake up until 10 or 11 in the morning, you know?
Going to sleep hasn't been hard for me, but you know what really nips that in the bud?
What's that?
Weed pills.
Oh, there you go.
You take those about 2 hours before you want to go to bed, and you are going to sleep whether you want to or not.
Taking the weed pills.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've sort of become a pothead in a way.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's real weird. I mean, I'm not taking the stuff while I'm, like, during the day while I'm around and wake. But when it comes time to go to bed, I'll take it.
You're not like, what's his name, carrying around the apothecary with you?
No.
Wait, was at the convention at one time?
No, none at all. I'm not doing it the way most people do, but that's the way I am with a lot of stuff. I mean, even with the music stuff.
You're a bad pothead.
I don't care.
Dude.
It's taken me this long to be comfortable enough with myself to admit in a podcast that I'm even using it.
You're the bad kind of pothead that goes, dude, what if C-A-T really spelled cat?
That's not true at all, because I'm asleep. Nobody ever hears my opinions on stuff, because I'm asleep.
You didn't even listen to the joke, though.
I heard you.
Because I did the joke badly. That's the bad kind of pothead you are.
You just kind of suck in general.
C-A-T spells cat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh. God, you never work with me.
Oh, look who's talking.
Work with me here, man. We're doing a bit.
You don't know what bits are.
Oh, I know all kinds of bits.
You don't know no bits.
I know bits to pieces.
No, you don't know no bits.
I know bites, even.
I know you know bites, but you don't know no bits. Oh, man, I'm never going to figure this out. So I'm trying to find this font that I was using for famous people's logo.
Stop bragging.
Yeah, and I can't find it.
You don't remember the name?
No, because I converted it all to outlines and stuff.
Oh.
Let me see if I can find it in earlier versions.
Wouldn't it be in your old computer's font manager still?
Maybe.
Because...
That's a good point.
I mean, Mac's got a pretty decent built-in font manager, doesn't it?
Oh, brought up a good point, you cranky pants.
Where's my
font book, yeah.
I wound up watching the new Resident Evil movie.
Oh, you did?
Twice.
Twice? So you liked it?
I actually did like it. At first, I didn't like it.
Oh.
Because when I first sat down to start watching it, at least as it was presented to me, I don't know if it's like this on everybody's screens, but I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with most video on the screen I was watching it on. Like, unless something's filmed super dark, I usually can clearly see everything and everything looks fine color-wise and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This was like watching Predator Requiem. Requiem. I mean, it was super saturated and super black. And super dark. Which, I understand it being dark because the whole thing takes place starting at about like 10 or 11 o'clock at night into like 6 o'clock the next morning. So the whole thing's at night anyway. But they... It was really, really dark, dude. You know? I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, well, this kind of sucks, man. I watched like the first 15, 20 minutes of it. And then I had the bright idea. I'm like, wait a minute. I can adjust stuff. I don't have to watch it like this.
Yeah, you don't have to live like that.
No, I don't have to, like, you know, accept their tyranny.
You shouldn't. You're crank. You're Chris Crank.
Exactly. You know, I believe in freedom.
No matter what Warren Ellis says, you are Chris Crank. And look what happened to him.
What did happen to him?
He got canceled.
Still? Oh, that's right. He was grooming, wasn't he?
He was grooming.
Or at least that's what people said he was doing.
Yep. Chris Crank was a groomer. Chris Crank barely grooms himself.
Yeah, how do you expect me to groom somebody else when I can't even groom myself? I mean, geez, it's hard enough. So what I did was I reduced the saturation and the contrast a bit, and then I upped the brightness a bit, which meant that...
It's smart for guys like you and me, because it's hard to up the brightness.
Which meant that there weren't any pure blacks. The blackest black on the screen, because it's not strictly, it's not a 16 by 9 film. So, you know, you see top and bottom bars. Well, I could actually see the top and bottom bars because there weren't any pure blacks in it. But it also meant I could see everything. And suddenly I realized that between the fact that they were using Albertus, the font, the John Carpenter font, you know,
I didn't know that was Albertus.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite fonts. It's got a nice serif to it. But so they were using that for all the timestamps and the credits, and the end credits and the beginning
that
credits.
That seems weird. That's a very, like...
Well, and plus, when you look at them, they look a little bit like they were trying to emulate the old ones that were done on an actual film, to where, you know, there'd be that little color shift at the edges and stuff. And then, so once I did this, and I messed with the contrast, the sharp, or the contrast... the saturation and the brightness. Between that and just, I realized when they filmed it, they were trying to make it look like a Carpenter film from the 80s. I almost guarantee it, because once I did all this, it looked like a Carpenter film from the 80s.
Interesting.
And they must have been, okay, so I don't know how much you know about film, or about like camera lenses. So no. If I'm telling you stuff you already know, forgive me.
I know next to nothing about camera lenses.
Okay, so manual, well, on camera lenses, the iris on it, you adjust that by adjusting the f-stop. So big f-stop means it's really small. It's weird because it's like gauges, you know. But if, say, like f-22, if it goes up to that, it means you've got a really tiny opening in the iris. But that means that even though it's letting in less light, you've got a much deeper field of view or depth of view. So say you're like focused on somebody, you'll also see the background like way behind them pretty clearly as well, you know? When you go to the lower f-stop numbers and you open that iris up really wide, it lets a lot more light in, but it also means that you've got a very narrow field of view, or a depth of view. So like say, I mean, you know, depending on how wide you open it up, as an example, like if you're focusing on somebody's nose, like their ears will be blurry, you know? Like, and that happens like in extremes, like when you've got it really wide open on a really low f-stop. But that can happen where you've got just such a small depth of view that like even the matter of a couple of inches can blur things out. I'm no expert on cinematography. I know a bit from just the still photography angle, but I would swear that they were shooting a lot of this wide open, just how things came in and out of focus and that too, which again kind of lends to it looking a lot more like an 80s movie. And but yeah, I swear, it's my belief that they were trying to make a Carpenter-esque film with this.
I mean, you might be on something.
Because I'm betting that's the way it was set up at the beginning. And by the time they got to the end, somebody in production was like, you know, this just doesn't look modern enough. We really need to make it black. You know, so they like undid all the good work that was being put into it already, and then just drenched it and made it really dark and oversaturated. And that might actually have worked okay in a theater, because you know you've got a projector projecting light instead of just a screen. So the blacks might not have been quite as black in the theater. But yeah, on my screen it didn't look good until I made adjustments to it. Adjustments I didn't have to do for any other movie I'd been watching up to that point since Aliens versus Predator Requiem.
Interesting.
But yeah, so if you do that, I think you'll find it's a pretty enjoyable movie. The cast is really good. It's got, I'm forgetting everybody now. Hold on.
Resident Evil.
And it kind of combines the first and second games?
Yeah, that's what I hear, is that it is the first and second games.
It's not, like, super literal or anything? Or, like, super exacting, exactly like them? And I saw some people were really upset at the casting of Jill Valentine. Some people, like, when I was looking online, just to see what other people thought about it.
Who was Jill Valentine in it?
It's the actress... You probably recognize her. She was in, remember that TV show that was on that was about the bounty hunters in space several years ago? It was called Joy Killers? Or Killjoys.
Killjoys.
She was the one that was like the head of the, you know, the bounty hunters that we were following around.
Oh.
She was like, she was the, you know, the princess that became a bounty hunter.
Okay.
Hannah John Kamen is her name.
Okay.
So they cast her as Jill Valentine.
And that was bad?
I think it is if you were expecting a white girl.
Oh, she's not white?
Well, I don't, she's mixed probably, I guess.
Oh, so people were upset that Jill Valentine's not white.
Well, I didn't see anybody out and out say, I didn't see, like, see anybody out and out say that, but that seemed to kind of be why, yeah.
You never know what's going to set somebody off, huh?
Yeah, well, you know. But I thought she did fine in the movie. And the only other thing I remember seeing her in was Killjoys, but I liked Killjoys too.
Yeah, right.
But it had a Kaia Scodelario. I don't know how to say her name. I've been watching her since Skins, and I like her too.
Uh-huh.
She was in that Crawl movie a few years ago with the alligator.
Crawl? She was in Crawl?
Crawl.
You have a problem pronouncing things.
You have a problem understanding things. But anyway, she was Claire Redfield, and she was good. Robbie Amell was Chris Redfield, and he was good.
One of the Amells was in it. That's the sign of quality.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't anybody real high profile in this.
Yeah.
But the cast was really good. They worked. Oh, Donald Logue was in it.
Donald Logue is in everything. What was he in this?
He was Chief Irons.
I don't know that.
I don't really remember him too.
I've never played this. I played, like, part of two. So I've never really played any of these games. I've watched more of the movies than I have played the games.
Oh, man, I played that first game a bunch on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really liked it. It freaked me out.
Yeah. And I mean, when I got a PlayStation 2, I got, like, the... I don't know if it was, like, a remake or whatever, but I got, like... the definitive sort of thing, and I started playing it, and I never finished it, so...
Yeah, I played most of the rest of them on, on Windows. Except for I had the GameCube version of 4, I think. And I played that on GameCube. GameCube had a pretty awkward controller.
We covered that on the show, because we went over your buying the GameCube... specifically to play this game.
Well, it was towards the end of the GameCube's life, so it wasn't like I spent a lot on it. I mean, it was.
I know, but you bought a GameCube so you could play that Resident Evil 4.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, we all know that. I'm just saying that the hardcores, like the Henriks from Denmark, already know.
And I think every game. Oh no, wait! I did play a couple of them on PS3. I can't remember which ones, but a couple of the newer ones. There's that one that was like a mixed mission where you played one character and then double back and played another character through it.
That, I think, was the one after 4.
The one on an island. It was on an island somewhere. Oh. And also it had Neil McDonough in it.
What?
Yeah. He was
Neil McDonough?
He was the big boss at the end.
Of course he was. All he does is that now.
Yeah. And, okay, so this is kind of geeky. But the reason I even like
Damian
him...
Dark, he's Damian Dark in the Legion... The... what is that?
Legends of Tomorrow?
Legends of Tomorrow. He's Damian Dark. My favorite episode, which is called Return of the Mac. Which... Which is all based on the song Return of the Mac.
Of course, because...
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason I really remember him is because of a one-off pilot that never got made into a movie, and so they made it... Or never got made into a series, but they made it into a TV movie and released it, called White Dwarf from 1995.
White Dwarf?
Yeah, it was a sci-fi thing.
Not Red Dwarf?
Nope, it was White Dwarf. And I really liked that TV movie, and he was like the protagonist in it, and so I've kind of liked him ever since.
He's an interesting actor. He's done a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's
just that a lot of people,
I mean,
don't know.
Like, geez, yeah. I mean, he's been in a. He's still in a ton of stuff. Like. As opposed to the guy that played Auto Man.
Nobody knows that guy. Hold on, I gotta go to the bathroom.
That's because he hasn't actually acted very much.
He hasn't done anything.
He was in a couple of 80s, like, fantasy movies. Post-apocalyptic fantasy movies. But, yeah. Can't you talk to me from the bathroom? You know, just shout out some stuff here and there. I mean, just pee with the door open. We don't care. Is that a cat I hear? I think the cat's talking to me now.
Could you hear that?
Yeah.
That was Floyd scratching at the door.
I heard a little trill.
Yeah, it was him trying, like, why aren't you letting me in here, dude?
Yeah.
We have an unspoken thing. If you go in the bathroom, I can go in there, right?
Well, that's, yeah, you know, I mean, that's sort of the deal, right?
This computer's gonna kill me.
Literally, it probably will, yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't think about that.
I mean, that's a horror movie, indeed. Speaking of horror movies, I just watched this movie from 2004 or 5 that had Peter Capaldi in it and several other people whose names I don't remember but I recognize from other stuff. It was called The House of Nine. And the weird thing is I saw a newer movie from just a few years ago, I think, and I watched this a couple of months ago, that was almost exactly the same movie. But I can't remember what that newer movie was called. But the basic plot was somebody kidnaps and puts a bunch of people into a locked area. In this case, it was a house. In the newer movie, they were just all locked in a room together. And basically tells them that they have to kill each other, and whoever's left at the end, like the last person standing, wins. And then, you know, to give it away now. And this is a spoiler, so you might want to cover your ears or something. You know, the winner at the end walks through a tunnel and picks up their money or whatever, and, you know, they're supposed to be getting let go. And basically they just walk into another room with a whole bunch of people there that have also just played the same thing, and now they all have to do that to each other.
What is this called?
Well, the one I just watched was called House of Nine.
Interesting.
I can't remember what the newer one was, but they were basically the same movie, just set slightly different with different actors.
Yeah, there's a lot of those, like, social experiment movies.
But, I mean, even that's, you know, the surprise ending that wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, well, how can you basically just do the entire same plot again? Now, for all I know, it might have been the same director. I don't remember what that newer movie was called. But, man, it was kind of weird when I saw it. I'm like, this movie seems really familiar, but it's from 2005.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. You know, it didn't have Neil McDonough in it. So McDonough.
Yeah, sorry about that. Are you okay with that?
I don't know.
You gonna be okay?
Probably not.
Oh no.
I'll be fine. I watched Reacher, that new Amazon thing.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
I wasn't expecting much. because I haven't read the books or anything. And the commercials just made it look like Walking Tall or something.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Essentially.
And I'm like, well, I've seen that, and I'm kind of done. I'm a little past right now the whole, you know, fantasy of one man kicking ass and taking all the bad guys down with a gun kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
At least right now, I'm a little kind of over that because just the past couple of years, you know, of assholery, you know, in America. But this actually, it's got a lot of humor to it.
Mm-hmm.
It moves really quick. It's a fairly short season. It's only like 8 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was turned out to be a lot of fun, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can say I recommend Reacher.
Good.
Another thing I watched that I think I might have talked about it when I watched it, probably like 2014 or 2015, because I think I saw it before, but I didn't realize it until I was most of the way through the movie. You know how that happens sometimes. Like, you keep on. Like, I watch something, and if I've seen it before, well, I got to figure out if I've seen it before or I've just seen something that was like it before, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a hazard of watching as much stuff as we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to keep some of the things straight. And this wasn't, and I guess that was old enough that it wasn't showing up on Amazon as me having watched it or anything.
Yeah.
But it was called Bad Kids of Crestview Academy.
Interesting.
Which is, I believe, the sequel to Bad Kids Go to Hell. Which, in and of itself, is based off of a graphic novel titled Bad Kids Go to Hell.
Huh.
Now, I want to talk about this because, it's, you know, the way they plug it is they say a best-selling graphic novel, Bad Kids Go to Hell.
Yeah, but we know because we've never heard of it.
Right. I didn't. I never knew it was a graphic novel until I saw the first movie. I know I've seen Bad Kids Go to Hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the Bad Kids Go to Hell, at least this one, the Bad Kids of Crestview Academy, was directed by and also he has an acting role in Ben Browder.
Ben Browder, okay. Your boyfriend.
From Farscape, yeah.
And
Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
And an episode of Doctor Who where he played a cowboy.
Okay.
Well, sheriff in an old west town, I guess. But yeah, so, like, it's not a bad movie. It's a pretty good movie. It's got a lot of twists and turns. You don't really know what's going on. And they do that thing that's kind of, seems kind of gimmicky, where they keep switching the comic art. Like something will happen and it'll freeze frame and turn into comic art instead. And then
I hate that.
Some of the action will turn into animated comic art and then it'll flip back to like the real film again.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It seems really gimmicky. Like, okay, we get it. It's a comic book, you know? Why do you have to remind us it's a comic book?
Yeah, I don't like it when the movie is really interested in it being a comic book.
Yeah, it's like, why do we need to know it's a comic book?
Ang Lee's Hulk was very much like that.
I don't remember.
Yeah. But it took me out of it when that happened.
It, and I don't remember, I'm trying to remember Bad Kids Go to Hell. Because, this also has Sean Astin in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, actually, Bad Kids of Crestview?
Mm-hmm.
Crestview Academy? I think the, it's based on the second graphic novel, which I think is called Bad Kids Go the Number Two Hell.
Hmm.
Okay, yeah, so Ben Browder was in the first one, too. Alongside Judd Nelson.
Oh.
I forgot about Judd Nelson being in that movie.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was one where, like, six kids are stuck in a detention, and all of a sudden somebody starts killing them.
Oh, and Judd Nelson's in it?
Yeah.
That's
I think he's the principal in the movie.
That makes sense.
But, and I remember liking the first one well enough. That was from 2009.
Yeah, I've never heard of any of those.
And the second one was from, nah, I can't be right. I don't think it was actually 2017. Because I watched it back in like 2014 or 2015. I think that might be, whatchamacallit, Amazon messing with the, you know. I'm going to look that up on IMDb and see what that says. But anyway, I thought those were interesting. Like, you know, they're worth checking out.
I watched this show on Netflix called Raising Dion, which is a superhero show, and it's not bad, the first season especially.
Yeah.
But it says based on this, you know, well-known comic book, and I looked it up, and it was, like, self-published on Kablam.
Yeah, see, I've seen a lot of things based on comic books that are like that, where I'm like, okay, this is... Like,
nobody's heard of this comic book. You might as well not even said it was a comic book.
That's where I'm wondering if, was it just like, you know, like, because we've seen it where you get the Hollywood guys that come in and just make a comic book as a pitch for a movie.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And that's where I wonder if it was something like that, because honestly...
It must have been, right?
I've never heard anybody talk about the Bad Kids comic books. I've never heard, you know... Like, or the graphic novels. I never saw them anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew they existed until I watched a movie and found out it was a comic book.
So. Yeah, yeah. That's the way this thing was. And I was like, it's not a bad show. It's just kind of like this. Stop pretending this was like the fucking Avengers, because nobody knew about this beforehand.
Or even like pretending it was Scott Pilgrim or something, you know?
Yeah, this is not a well-known property
that
people were clamoring for, so stop pretending.
Apparently, Bad Kids of Crestview Academy is a 2017 movie, at least according to Wikipedia, but Amazon got the date on the first movie wrong. That was, I guess, a 2012 movie. Bad Kids Go to Hell. Okay, so do you know who... Let's see. Do you know who Matthew Spradlin is?
No.
Or Barry Wernick?
No.
Okay, they were the two guys that put out the Bad Kids Go to Hell book.
Okay.
So just, yeah, like, again, I don't know, you know.
I mean, these days especially, it's not surprising if I haven't heard of something. But
right, yes, exactly. And, I'm not even trying to say it's a bad comic book. I've never read it. I don't know.
Right. That's not what I'm saying at all.
I think it's weird.
You say it's like best selling something.
Like where did it best sell? Like,
yeah, you're just fucking lying. I mean, that's the thing.
Or you're massaging the truth a lot. I mean, maybe it was best selling somewhere.
Yeah. But at grandmother's house.
I mean, that's sort of misleading though, you know, to say. Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
It's very much Hollywood speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, scummy Hollywood person speak kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Well. And it's like, why do you have to say that? You got your show. You don't have to, you ain't got to lie to make friends.
Yeah, and again, I don't even get why even mention it's a comic book. I mean, unless it really was a comic book.
Right, like, yeah.
And the comic book people want people to know that it's a comic book because they want to sell more comics or something, you know, like
the only reason you would mention you would say, hey, look, it's that comic you guys liked, you know, yeah. But if it's not a comic anybody liked, why?
And you know, I don't know. I'm not exactly the most informed person anymore.
Are people like seriously going out there going, oh, this is a comic book, I should watch this?
It's like, I mean, at least I had heard of The Crow before it was a movie. I hadn't read it before then. But at least I'd heard of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those weird things. And I'm not trying to bag on the comic. I'm just trying to bag on the scuzzy Hollywood-ness of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just one of those typical things they do.
Mm-hmm.
But the movies themselves, though, are pretty good. I'd say watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Watch them.
Watch them.
I also decided to rewatch Wayward Pines.
Oh, come on. You just watched that.
Like, you know, what, 7 years ago?
It wasn't 7 years ago.
Yeah, it was like 6 or 7 years. Yeah, 6 or 7 years ago, dude.
It was not 7 years ago that you were describing that show to me.
That was like 2004 or 2005. Or 2014, 2015, sorry. That's what I mean to say. Somewhere around there. Probably 2014, I'm guessing. I hadn't moved in here yet, for sure. And I've lived here like 6 years now.
I refuse to believe all of this.
Well, anyway. It's the first season's still pretty good. It's nice and short, 10 episodes. They kind of go astray in the second season, and it gets sort of repetitive and boring.
I didn't know there was a second season. I thought it was just dead after the first season.
It was supposed to be. They initially intended it
to... That was kind of like the thing that you didn't like about it, was that nothing happened afterward.
Well, I mean, you know, it ends with, like, you know, half the cast dying and like, the main cast dying and stuff like that for the most part. Which, looking back on it, is an appropriate way to end that show. Like, if you had planned to just end it after 10 episodes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I always felt about Supernatural. Like, I think at the end of the second season, where they, like, roll over the car and you think everybody's dead and then it just stops. Like, I'm like, man, if they would have ended it right there, that would have been a perfect ending for the show.
All right. Oh, sure.
Because it was, it was like, it put a pin in things and things were done and you had this dramatic ending and it would have been perfect. Like, and then it went on for another, like, 30 or 40 years. I don't even really know how many seasons they had total. Like, 15?
A lot.
16? 20?
A lot.
When did that show even start? It was like 2004? 5?
I don't remember.
God. I don't
remember.
It was so long
ago. I
know
I wasn't watching it.
I was. And it was, at first it wasn't the same show as it became.
No.
Because it started out as just a Creature of the Week kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Scooby-Doo show or something. Or, you know, a Scooby-Doo show where people actually got hurt and it really was a monster instead of a rubber mask. But they, yeah, but it really morphed in season 2, I think. Took on a lot of the characteristics that it would continue to have, like, well into its lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, that's the kind of, like, I think about maybe trying to do a rewatch of that sometimes. But that's kind of daunting, given how long that show lasted. Like, could you imagine sitting down and doing a complete rewatch of The Simpsons? My God, that would just drive you batty, for one thing. Because a lot of Simpsons wasn't that good. At least up until where I quit watching it, you know? I don't know what it was like after that.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong, yeah.
I mean, a lot of The Simpsons was... a good chunk of it was mediocre. It wasn't really all that funny or witty or anything.
Uh-huh.
And some of it was just downright dull.
Uh-huh. Well, the beginning seasons, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I only watched maybe the first 8-10 seasons, you know? I mean, when it was good though, it was good. Like,
yeah, that sweet spot in the middle is probably
like when it was firing on all cylinders, it was a good show. But yeah, that wasn't even consistent week to week though, as I recall. But yeah, anyway, so sometimes I think about rewatching Supernatural, but it's kind of a, it seems like a big task to do. So many episodes. Maybe I'll do it. I mean, I was able to sit through a rewatch of Smallville.
Oh, we know.
Is it time for another Smallville rewatch?
Motherfucker.
No, it can't be, because I rewatched it when I was here.
I know that it isn't.
Yeah, I rewatched it when I was here, so it's not time yet.
Motherfucker.
Maybe another Dawson's Creek rewatch, though.
No!
Yeah.
You're going to make me lose my mind.
I'll pick something shorter, like VR5. I'm not even sure that show...
As long as it's something we haven't heard of before.
I'm not even sure that show completed its first season. First and only season, I think.
I'm going to do a recap of Photon.
Ooh, can we? I'll watch it with you.
No! Fuck you!
Dude, I love playing Photon.
Bodie Lee.
My handle was Mistwalker.
I didn't have a handle because they wouldn't let me use bad words.
So how did they identify you on the scoreboard? User 2345?
I think my ending, the actual name I ended up using was Digital Skeleton.
Oh, okay. So you had a handle.
Yeah. Then I cracked my head on, like, this wasn't Photon. This was like laser tag at like one of those things in a strip mall.
Oh, so that's not really Photon.
Yeah, I cracked my head on like one of the like outcroppings of the cover that we were supposed to use.
Uh-oh. Didn't they have the helmets? Photon had the helmets.
No, we didn't have a helmet. We didn't have helmets.
Oh, see, we had an actual Photon in Cincinnati.
Mm. No, we did not have a helmet. We did not have Photon in Memphis, Tennessee.
Huh, that's weird. I mean, it was really expensive for the age I was at the time. Because that was, what, like 83, 84?
I mean, we would have been the same age.
Or no, I think that was probably 86 or 87 when Photon was around.
No. No! It was even later than that.
Was it?
I mean, it might have been before Batman, but it was pretty late in the 80s.
Photon Game Center. Let's see. Photon. The ultimate game on planet Earth. Oh, yeah. I even had the Photon badge. Like, they give you your own badge and shit. Let me see. Home units were introduced in 1986 as an Entertech project. At the time, branded as Laser Tag. Oh, at the same time as Laser Tag came out from Worlds of Wonder. And, oh, 87. 87, and then it closed in 89. Lack of financing and loss of franchise revenue. But, so yeah, like, somewhere around there, 87 to 88, they charged a lot per game, and the games didn't last that long.
Shined very brightly for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, the facility
itself. You had like 10 points?
Something like that. I mean, but even if you made it through the whole game, like a game session didn't last that long.
Yeah.
And it was like.
And 10 points don't last that long.
It was something like, I want to say it was like 10 or 15 bucks a game, you know?
Oh my God.
And the badge, like to buy, you had to buy the badge. They didn't just give you the badge.
My parents would have never driven me to Memphis to play that.
And you could buy like blocks of game time or something like that for like a reduced price per game.
Yeah.
But still, it was like I would go with somebody else I knew that had a, you know, could afford it, and I'd play like maybe a game, and then I'd sit around and wait till they got done, and then we'd leave. Because I generally can only afford like a game or two. But the facility was pretty neat, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way it was designed, and it was just kind of a pretty neat setup. I did also, I had a laser tag home unit thing, like the belt and the gun and the sensor and stuff.
I did not, but I knew many people that did.
I unfortunately did not know anybody else that had one, so I usually just set my sensor up and did target practice.
Also, the cruel life prank on me is that I was already too big for any of that to fit me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
Sorry, man.
I was a giant among children.
At least you would have been able to carry the weight of the Photon equipment. Man, that was like 20 pounds of stuff.
I never, like I said, I never did Photon. I knew the laser tag. Laser tag was pretty
light.
Yeah.
Yeah, laser tag was really light.
Mm-hmm.
But the Photon gear, you had the helmet and the battery pack and the gun. And by the time you had all that crap strapped on, I swear it was probably like 20, 25 pounds.
Wow.
On a kid. Like having to carry that shit around.
Well, that's like a serious thing.
Yeah, it was like heavy duty equipment.
No.
I remember I fell backwards through a, because they, you know, the way it, they had like little overhead bridge things you could climb up, and little tunnely things and like holes in between areas and stuff like that. And I was backing away from somebody that was coming at me, and I didn't realize I thought I was backing against a wall, and it turned out I was backing against a hole in the wall. So I fell over the ledge and landed on my back, and the jackass that was coming at me jumped up on the ledge and shot down at me and killed me.
I'm not checked to see if you were okay, because you could have been dead. You could have been like a horrible accident.
No, that kid just went on and tried to shoot somebody else.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Nope, not at all. I shook it off, got up, and left the arena because, well, you know.
You were bleeding from your eyes.
And I was dead.
But you were dead. Yeah, you had to get out of there because you were dead.
Yeah, I mean, not really dead. I was game dead. I was dead to you, you know, kind of dead. So
you've always been dead to me.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's, you know, kind of occupational hazard, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But, Photon. Such good memories. I was thinking about, I don't know how far this store franchise went, but there was a department store we had when I was a kid growing up and around Cincinnati called Gold Circle.
Gold Circle, huh?
And it was owned, whoever owned them, like, owned a bunch of different kinds of stores, like they owned Bloomingdale's at the time and stuff like that. And they started this up, I guess, to be sort of a competitor to Kmart.
Because
it was in that range of stuff. They sold, like, Lee jeans and stuff like that instead of Levi's, you know. But they had, an amazing selection of toys. And they, for a while at least, the aisles were really wide. Like, they weren't little cramped aisles and stuff. Like, they were trying to make it seem like it was a nicer budget store, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I have really fond memories of that store, and I was thinking about it today because I drove past where it used to be when I was out running errands. I was like, man, I miss Gold Circle. Although, I mean, even if we're still around, it would probably be shitty now. I guess I miss my memories of Gold Circle. And part of the reason I miss Gold Circle is because when we would go to Gold Circle, sometimes I would skip out on going there, and there was an arcade that was right next door.
Mm-hmm.
And I would duck into the arcade and play while my mom did all her shopping and shit, you know. Mm-hmm. So, Gold Circle trips could also have meant arcade trips for me.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably partly why I finally remember Gold Circle. I don't think that was an Aladdin's Castle. I think it was something else, arcade-wise.
I don't remember Aladdin's Castle.
I think I still have an Aladdin's Castle token around somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I miss arcades.
Yeah.
Like proper arcades. No, they
still exist. My buddy Ron worked in one in Ocean City, and he just got COVID because he works in one.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
It was like two children's birthday parties. I got COVID. And I'm like, who the fuck is having a children's birthday party in an arcade at this point in time?
Don't you know, man? We're over COVID.
Yeah.
Or something.
Man, we're too busy with World War III.
Yeah, that's... Did you see the thing where the space minister basically threatened to drop ISS station on some country?
What? No, what?
He was he didn't come out and just say that, but what he was saying was, well, if you put these sanctions on us and we can't, like, maintain the station, you realize it's going to come down over, like, the U.S. or some European country. We're not in its flight path, so we don't have to worry about it. But, yeah, basically he's saying they were going to drop the ISS on some country that was, you know, sanctioning them. I was like, holy shit, really? I mean, it's scary enough that they got nukes.
Somebody has to just take this dude out. I can't think of another person in the world that people would miss less than fucking Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, well, he's got company.
Yeah, he's got company, but the same thing. It's like, people have been talking about getting rid of this guy since we were young.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's, ruled the country for 20-something years now?
He's a monster.
Pretty much,
the fact that he's lived this long is kind of an amazing thing. I feel like that's why he's doing all of this. Because he's, like, in his 70s, he's like, if I don't do this now, I'm not going to do it.
Sort of a last hurrah?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like, I got to do this now. Seriously, because, I mean, what other reason would there be? What does he need? What does he have to do?
I don't know.
Just got to do this, and it's just like, why, fucker? Everybody in the world doesn't want you to do this. Literally everybody in the world, except for some weirdos in our fucking country for some reason.
Well, you know, for some people, that's enough reason to do something.
I guess. But it's just like, dude, any day now, you're going to die on your own.
Well, eventually he will anyway.
Why are you asking for everybody to help that out?
I don't know, man.
It's so amazing to me, just the hubris of it all.
I generally I can't understand a lot of that. I don't understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, just, I don't know. The only kind of satisfaction, I'm trying to think of the right word, but at least it's not going as he thought it would, which...
I mean, what did he think was going to happen? That they would be like, oh, you're right, we're Russian now.
Yeah, honestly, I think he thought they were just going to roll in there and take over and nothing really was going to happen.
I mean, he is honestly the only person... Even the people in his own country don't want him to do this.
Yeah. But, you know, like, they're... For being...
He was like,
for using, what? Like, outdated equipment, essentially, and being, you know, undermanned, undertrained.
What it was is he is, like, 70-something years old. He's like, my dude in America is gone now.
Yeah.
He's not coming back. I need to do this now. Is what was happening. That's yeah. What's going on. And it's just like, well, all right, this is kind of a pathetic swan song that you got to fucking get a bunch of people killed for you to look really stupid. Because that's what's going to happen when this is all over with. You know, either he's going to get taken out or he's just going to look real dumb. Because either way, nobody's going to let him keep doing this.
Well, yeah, I mean, the world's in a difficult position at the moment.
Yeah, I get it, but still.
I mean, they're doing what they can, I suppose, but they're not at the point where they're willing to just directly poke them.
It's like even here with COVID, you got like a certain percentage of the population fighting a certain percentage of the population. There's no percentage of the population that fucking agrees with Putin on this.
Well, there's a small percentage of Americans that agree with him.
Yeah, the GOP.
Because, I mean, they sell t-shirts that say, I'd rather be Russian than vote for Biden.
Right. But those fucking people are psychopaths.
Pretty much.
The overwhelming majority of people look at him and go, why are you fucking doing this, you insane moron?
Pretty much.
So, I mean, I mean, you know, if the last 4 years hadn't already happened, I would believe that, you know, I would be going, well, this is going to be over any time now.
I think it'll be over quicker than they initially thought, because, like, even China kind of turned on him.
No, but wants him to do this. This is fucking stupid.
It really is. And it doesn't help that, you know, everybody's got a cell phone now. Everybody on the ground, you know?
Yeah.
Like, including the soldiers fighting the war. You know?
I mean, I think this is what his ultimate goal was, and it didn't work out well when his guy in America got taken out. They're like, yeah, we don't want this guy anymore. He's like, well, fuck, now I gotta do this on my own.
Well, he didn't need to invade Ukraine with Trump in office. Trump was already handing him everything he wanted. He was destabilizing the West. He was, Trump planned on pulling out of NATO.
And he's like, well, now I gotta fucking do this now.
And, I mean, and don't forget that Ukraine was a country Trump screwed over during, you know, that caused his second impeachment. Or first impeachment.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly. So it's just like, there's a big fucking neon sign telling you everything.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this, moron?
Why
aren't you just fucking riding your horse, being shirtless, acting like a fucking dick? Why can't you just feed your ego that way?
I'm just waiting for the nukes to fly, personally.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody wants this, and especially, that's the dumbest way to die. The dumbest way to die is if nukes got set off because of this.
Yeah.
Because just fucking oldie Alderson, for some reason, wants Ukraine. Why? Why?
I don't know.
Nobody fucking cares about the Ukraine, except for you. You weird potato face looking, like smash nose.
Wait, you're talking about me now, are you?
No, I'm talking about this fucking weirdo from Moscow.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Do we have any email?
No, we don't. I looked.
Okay. Because we've been talking for a while, and it's past your bedtime.
It is way past my bedtime.
So, we should...
But I've been drinking Cocomongo.
What's Cocomongo?
Cocomongo is a beer from Three Floyds in Mundelein, Indiana.
I've had Three Floyds before.
Yeah, just across the border. It is a coconut stout.
Huh.
And it is 15.5%.
Wow. That's pretty intoxicating.
Yeah, I might not wake up tomorrow.
At least not very early.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. You get some sleep.
I'll try.
And the rest of you out there, stay safe.
Yeah, I mean, stay... I'm just mad.
I know.
I try not to be angry anymore. Because that was a... You know, you and I know I have anger issues.
Yeah. Well, there's not... I mean, you know, you can get angry now, but there's not a lot you can do about what's going on in Ukraine or anything, so...
Well, you can... You rarely do much about your anger issues.
Yeah. It's pretty futile for the most part.
Yeah, so you kind of have to get over it.
It's like being depressed that somebody that's the same age as you was wildly successful while you weren't.
You were just talking about this earlier today.
I'm tying this back in, yeah.
Yeah.
About things you probably shouldn't do.
Absolutely shouldn't do. Comparing yourself to someone, that's fucking death.
So, anyway. Well, I hope you all have a good weekend, and we will catch you next week.
We'll try to catch you next week, but Crank's not very fast, and he's been drinking Milwaukee's Best all night, which is, we know causes nerve damage.
Probably?
Not probably. It definitely does in lab rats.
I'm not a lab rat, Mike.
Well, you're kind of cute like one. You kind of have lab rat qualities.
On that note... Goodbye.
People would love to have Chris Crank as a pet.
Okay. Maybe a miniaturized version of me?
Well, I mean...
Like a teacup crank.
Yeah, nobody wants a full-size crank. That's just gross and annoying.
Give me a tea crank.
A teacup crank would... You know, that's the new designer pet. A teacup crank. He can fix all your computer problems.
He would just crawl in there and fix them. I mean,
he would crawl in there and fix them.
Yeah.
And then he'd come out and he'd be like, I need a Milwaukee's Best. And you'd like pour a little saucer for him.
A little thimble.
And he'd just pass out and you could just pet him while he was asleep.
It'd be Crankalina.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think I want that pet. I want that pet. And I'm your friend. I would like, how weird is that? Like, we would record the show and I would still be like petting my little drunk crank on this desk.
Just hear little snores. It'd be like, when you hit pugs. I mean,
yeah, it would be like that. I'd be like, guess what? What is that? Oh, that sounds like me. And I'd be like, yeah, that is you, buddy.
Tiny me.
It's tiny you.
Teeny tiny crank.
Now, would you feel any kind of affinity for that? Would you be like, if I'd say, like, you crank, I'm going to throw this little you out the door right now because I'm feeling, like, I'm abnormally angry and I'm going to take it out on this tiny you.
Well, is tiny crank sentient? I mean, I guess he'd have to be if he can fix computers.
That's a good question.
I mean, you know, if Tiny Crank...
I mean, he has to be, right, if he's fixing your computer.
Right. I mean, but even if Tiny Crank, like Teacup Crank, had just the level of... level of feeling and emotional, like, you know, emotional IQ of a pug, say.
Yeah, I don't like this. We're tampering in God's domain.
I mean, you know, you wouldn't throw a pug out the door because you were angry, like...
I feel terrible now. I don't like this.
I mean, I don't hurt your teacup crank.
Don't hurt your teacup crank.
Teacup crank has feelings, too.
You stopped recording like an hour ago, right?
Oh, it's still rolling, man. But anyway, all right, so that's it for tonight. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.